small group study this coming fall. So don't expect a long lesson today or detail, but just something to get us into it. I want to go to the 2 Timothy passage first. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, and then we'll read from Ephesians. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And then Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3:14-19. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen. Well, did you notice something common in those passages? Both of them use this word, power. And I'm going to submit to you this morning that Christianity, church gatherings, is about power. And these two verses indicate that. The one in 2 Timothy might be answering the question to say that it's not working effectively. The power is not there. There is a power failure. It looks to be right. It looks like it's set up right, maybe in lives or maybe in churches. But the essence of power is not there. And why is that? Because it doesn't function well? Because it's not connected to the source of power? Now, when I'm talking about churches, I'm having to talk about individuals because churches are made up of individuals. So it goes both ways. But let me just ask, is there ever a time in your life where you've talked about God, but His reality wasn't there? Where you look to be a Christian, but you didn't have the power in your life? I think probably we've all been there at some time, right? But here in this passage, Paul gets very, he really lays it on about people that are boastful and full of ego and lovers of self rather than lovers of God. In other words, they're not tuned in to the will of God. Now, there's carnal Christians, and there's no denying that there are Christians who are carnal, but still the power is not tapped into. So what are they tapping into for power? Well, it could be God talk. It could be that they're finding that power comes from a sense of wealth. People do that in the world. And so maybe if we could accumulate people who just had money in church. You know, years ago, Harry Emerson Fosdick was the famous preacher at the Riverside Church in New York City, and it was called John D. Rockefeller's church for obvious reasons. Now, he may have had a lot of money that he used with, but let's suppose that we just made an offering to anybody that came to church here. What would the price point be if we just advertised we were going to pay anybody that comes to church $100? Do you think people would take us up on that? You know, there are actually churches that do that, make an offering. But suppose that church was about power. How high would we rise in this world? How would we be able to influence people? We'd probably get some of the finest Christians money could buy, wouldn't we? And sometimes church is thought of in terms of politics. Sort of like there's publicans, there's Democrats, and so there's power to be grabbed, and there's power in the church that way. And if we look at it that way, we're probably doomed to a great deal of conflict. There's power in ego. There's egos in church. We've all had egos. I've got an ego. And I think when Paul is talking here about lovers of pleasure and self-willed people, he's talking about that very thing. That kind of pride can certainly lead to divisiveness and to cult-like activities. And then perhaps just relying upon human strength. The fact that sometimes we follow a tradition that we've always followed, we expect to always follow that. And so by our own human strength and tradition, we're going to keep doing what we've been doing. But maybe the real power, the energy, just isn't there. Is that you? We've probably all been there before. Power failure. Now I want you to notice this Ephesians passage, Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. And Paul is praying. This is a prayer. It's a very moving prayer in which Paul is praying for the Ephesians. It's not that he says they don't have the power, but he says, I want you to get more power. Do you notice that? Do you notice how that word is used several times through here? And I want this power to come in the inner person. The inner person through the Holy Spirit. So it's not something outward. It's not based on power politics. It's not based on wealth, tradition, or anything. But it's based on what will happen inside a person. And isn't that where the real you comes? Isn't that where real faith originates? And notice what Paul says. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now let me just ask you, would that make the difference in your life? If you knew that Christ was dwelling in your inner person, in your heart, changing you so that now every thought that you've got, every desire is filtered through the inner person where Christ is built in your life. Makes a difference, doesn't it? That's Paul's prayer right there. Now I have to tell you, when it comes to power, my wife has a battery on her cell phone that goes out every night. That's because she's using that power a great deal. Mine lasts a week or more. But eventually, it runs out of power, doesn't it? And I think probably our lives are like this. Sometimes we're just out of power immediately. And sometimes you've got to run to the summit to get rejuvenated. You got to run or maybe it's Sunday morning. Maybe it's a Wednesday night class. But this is what Paul is praying, that you will be able to have power through Christ that is dwelling in your life. Now, the second thing he says, I want you to grasp the power. I want you to be able to grasp what this power is, the dimensions of it, the height, the depth, the width, the length. In other words, the full scope of Christ in his love. Now, what do you think church was about? It may be about a lot of things. It may be about classes. It may be about singing. It may be about praying. But ultimately, it's about coming to know and experiencing the love of Christ, isn't it? I mean, when you can see eyeball to eyeball to someone who is dedicated to Christ, who knows the love of Christ, and you be able to grasp that, how do you learn that? Well, I think you probably study it. You probably meditate upon it. But to see it experienced in someone's life, someone that knows this love, Paul is saying, I want you to have this dimensional experience, just to be able to comprehend how the full scope of it. And that will empower your life. And then notice what he says. The power to know, that is to really experience this love of God which passes understanding, to be able to have it in your life. And then what will that lead to? You will be filled with a full measure of God. Now, I'll tell you, when I started out with Christianity, it was working for me. I was enthusiastic about it, but I did not grasp what it was all about. And I think we go through stages in life where maybe we're carnal, maybe we're influenced by this or that. But isn't the bottom line about Christianity knowing the power of this love of Jesus Christ? That's what I want us to think about. That's what Paul is praying about. That's what our small group study is going to be about. Discipleship lessons helping us to tap into this power of Jesus Christ in our own personal lives. Now, what about you? Does that sound like a good go? Does that sound like something you'd want to do? Well, that's going to be our studies on Sunday morning beginning in October, October the 1st. But also our small group ministry that is going to kick off on that date is going to have lessons based upon these lessons from Ephesians, discipleship lessons from Ephesians. And we're asking that question, does Christianity work for us? Can we tap into the power of knowing Jesus Christ and His love? Now this morning, I don't want to take a lot of time, just sufficient time to begin to tell you about the groups. Like we've done before, we have groups that are going to meet on the first and the third Sunday of the month. Now, somebody might ask, why are we meeting on those rather than the second and the fourth? I'm responsible. Somebody's got to make a choice. We could meet on the second and the fourth, but we're meeting on the first and the third. That's just as convenient, and then we'll work around the schedule. We'll work around Thanksgiving, Christmas, and so forth. But we brought this up with our elders, and we as a team decided that we're going to meet twice a month. Not once, but twice. And hopefully that will give everybody the kind of connections we need to really get into each other's lives and to study this word and to be able to eat together. So in the back, you'll find there's some sign-up sheets. We're going to give you a choice of where to sign, as we usually do. I'm going to ask once again that you find a group that you'd like to be with, but don't find the group that you had last year. In other words, if you enjoyed Dan Sain's group last year, try to find another group this year. Maybe go to David's group or to one of the other person's groups. So these groups will meet, and then we're going to have a little twist on the groups this year. In the same way that we met, and you know, based on location, being in each other's homes, having some food together, we're going to have a little different twist, and that is, we're going to do we're going to try to have a little handshake with Celebrate Recovery. Now, what do I mean by that? In computer language, when you got a handshake, that means something. Two things that aren't connected are being able to connect together. And we have to say the people of Celebrate Recovery have a lot of passion. I heard a lot of passion from Tom this morning. I've heard about a lot of passion from people that get involved in Celebrate Recovery on Friday night. And what we want to do as a church is to try to be sure that they are welcomed here in church here, right? So when we have guests that are coming, whether it's Celebrate Recovery or whether they're coming from the neighborhood, we want to be able to focus on the newcomer. We want to be able to say to our guests, we are terribly interested in you. Now, that may be you right now, but as a church, we can do better, can't we? So what we're going to try to do is to, every Sunday, remind ourselves to welcome our guests, to make them feel welcome, but we also want to ask our groups to provide a brief meal after church. So one of the groups, or two of the groups, depending on how this works out, we're going to kind of feel our way here. We're going to ask our groups to provide some kind of meal over here in the cafeteria area so that you as a group will provide for yourselves as well as some guests that come in here. So if we have, we've got Glenn Springer back here today, and Glenn, so glad to have you. Glenn was at Celebrate Recovery, and you know his enthusiasm and passion's there. What if we had that meal waiting for you today? Would that make you feel welcome? Amen, amen. And we would love to be able to welcome you that way. But today we're going to give you a handshake. Thank you for being here. But we're going to try this for 3 months. Sorry, Glenn. We're going to try this for 3 months, and we're going to try to focus on how we can connect with our guests a little better. Are you with me on that? Can we do that? So if you sign up for one of your groups, we'll be trying every week to provide that focus on our guests. And then we'll be able to tell them more about our church, and we'll be able to meet them graciously. We'll be able to tell them about our Celebrate Recovery program on Friday night. And I think it's, a good handshake, because the folks there are very interested in getting into people's lives, making them feel welcome, focusing on the newcomer, and we could do a better job at the church on that. So all of us, beginning right up here with the minister, are going to do that. Now, what do our small groups have to do with this idea of the love of God, the power of God, and that's what I want to come to next. And every week I'd like to have maybe a group leader to come up here and maybe give a few testimonials, but today I'm going to give the testimonials about my group. And by permission of people in my group, they've told me that I may share some things that they said. Now, your group is going to be a totally different experience, but I cannot imagine. In fact, I need to go ahead and, well, let's do that in a minute. Let's go ahead and give these testimonials. Marilyn Hired. Marilyn and Alan were in our group, and Alan wrote a few words, and Marilyn wrote many words, so I'll give hers first. She said, "I can say I love my small group. There were people I already knew and those I did not know. When I went into the group, it was a blessing getting to know everyone better and having a closer bond with them. A highlight was being in others' homes and having them in mine. That, to me, brought us closer." And then Alan said, "It helps us to get to know other people better, some that he didn't know, including Mary and Hewlin Hall." So, yes, it did. And thank you for those testimonies. Both enjoyed them. Diane Johnson said, "I was pleased by enjoying old friends and making new friends. The fellowship was wonderful. The study of life's healing choices was very good for us. And then she had some comments about enjoying the meals and the coffee, which we always provide in our group. And then Nancy Fox said, "I loved it. New kid on the block. I enjoyed the lessons. Getting to know people in church, not the same way. I really enjoyed people like Phyllis, you mentioned. I never would have gotten to know her, or Alice. And she loved having the food." Alice Rigney. Now, I didn't know Alice very well, and Alice visited with me for some time telling me what she wanted to say, and I just kind of put it in the back of my mind. But Alice said she's kind of a shy person, and I'd say that's probably true. But I tell you, when you get to know Alice, there's a lot to her, and we love her desperately in this group. Now, Alice shared with her that she didn't grow up hearing about grace, but now she's learning about grace, and she's excited about it, and she is excited, I would even say enthusiastic, about getting to know people in our group. Now, she mentioned a couple in particular, and I'll tell you, Morris and Phyllis really were delightful in our group. So she mentioned your name in particular, but I think probably all of us got to know Alice in a way, and she mentioned about common backgrounds and some stories that I won't go into, but well, I might as well mention y'all next, since y'all are right down here in the front. Morris and Phyllis. Now, Morris always comes in with that big jug. You know, he's ready for coffee. He's ready for coffee. And Phyllis comes in with her big smile, and we're delighted that they were part of our group. But they said, they basically sit down here in the front. You can see them down here. And so they miss seeing everybody who's in the back of the auditorium. So in small groups, they get to overcome this. They get to see people eye to eye. And they feel that sometimes the quieter folks need encouragement to express themselves, and that's why a small group is very very helpful. They also said that there's a mutual interest and common experiences that you discover in small groups that you don't discover in other ways, and they mention several people that they've gotten to know, too, as well. Now, there's one thing I got to tell about Morris. There's very few men that look me eyeball to eyeball and say, "I love you." And you know, he means it. So if you can get Morris and Phyllis in your group, I'm going to tell you, this is a honey of a couple. We love them tremendously. I just appreciate getting to know them. They live way out. It's worth the drive. And they will, of course, drive in too. So having said all that, I'm basically saying my group is a group of people that really got involved in each other's lives, and we're delighted. Ron Jordan, I don't think is here today, but Ron is a ongoing visitor at this church. And he said, and this is what he said, "This is the first church that I've really felt good about. But," he said, "the group has given him more than just acquaintances at church." Now, that's what we want to accomplish when what we're talking about, the food ministry. And I'm not suggesting that this is the only way people get to know others. If you're involved in Celebrate Recovery, you're deeply involved in each other's life. If you're involved in Upwards Basketball, you may have more on your plate than you can shake a stick at. But for most people, getting to know others in a small group is a definite spiritual experience worth considering. Now, Elaine Denman didn't give us anything because she's been traveling so much and been in back pain, but I'm sure she experienced a worthwhile experience in the group. Right, Elaine? Can I speak for you? And I will tell you, from your preacher's point of view, this is like a support group for me. Because like I said, you know, Morris and Phyllis say they love me, and he verbalized it. And I appreciate that, Morris. And then getting to know people, each of those that I mentioned, getting to know about their life and helping them discover grace and experiencing grace between us was a real experience. So I cherish getting to know each of those individuals. Now I'm looking here to see if I've left anyone out. And I don't, oh yes, I did. Mary and Hewlin Hall. Hewlin said that he enjoyed the opportunity of knowing various people. And Mary said, "We didn't miss a one. It reminds me of the New Testament church meeting in homes from house to house." And so she enjoyed being able to express their feelings and being informal in groups. How does that sound to you? Does that sound like a good group? I think it was a powerful group, an awesome group. We prayed together. We shared together in food, fellowship. We did the things that brought us together. I think it helped us tap into the power of Christ's love. Amen? I should be able to get at least a group amen from my group, right? Amen. Okay. And I hope that you will hear stories like that from your group leaders as well. Now, this year, here are the ones that are going to be serving. Our elders are going to be serving, and I'm just going to name them off one by one. David Elrod, and I'm going to ask you to stand so you can see who's going to be serving as a leader. John McIntosh, John and Vanna, maybe with your wives as well, because they're going to be doing an awful lot of the leadership. Doug Vaughn. And I'm excited about Doug and Diane. He's probably working today. David Eldridge. David and Angie. Okay, thank you. David, that's going to be a great group. I wish I could be in yours. Ray Markram. Sid Snyder. Now, Sid and Lori want to have a group with children under age 10. So if you've got children under age 10, they would really prefer a group like that right now. So we've designated that in the back. Dan Sane. Jerry Kreitz, I think Jerry's out today, and Daryl Denman. Now, I'm going to take this year, I'm going to take the group here at the building at 6 p.m., so there'll always be a group meeting here. But you folks that are serving as group leaders, thank you for serving, and we anticipate a good year. When you're looking at the names in the back, take several weeks if you need to, or sign up today. I would appreciate it if each adult would sign on one line. In other words, last year we might have had someone, husband and wife, sign on one line, but we'd like to have a group the way they're set right now for 10 people. That'd be a very good size group. So if you'll do that, choose what group you want to be in, and then we'll continue to give you opportunities to sign up for those. But I think I'm excited about groups just for what it does, but I think also as a means of connecting with our guests that come in, it will be very good for us. So let's be prayerful of what can happen. And if you've never participated in a group before, take a risk. I want to go back to that scripture we looked at because we are thinking about power. Power. Paul says that Christianity is about power, the power of knowing Christ in your heart, the power of experiencing Him. And I believe that there is something unique about a person that knows Christ. Because when the love of Christ is in your heart, you begin to treat people differently. You begin to look at your own resources differently. You begin to look at them not just for yourself, but how they can be useful for others. You begin to experience people in a different way and see them as the recipients of God's love. It doesn't matter what color, what they've done in life. It's about acceptance, knowing that they are loved and forgiven. Amen? That's what we want to experience, and that's what we want guests to experience at this church. And I'm delighted that we have a wonderful Celebrate Recovery running along parallel with us. I'm delighted that we have programs like Upwards Basketball that are running parallel to us that can bring people perhaps into the mainline church and maybe a youth ministry program that can run parallel to the church. And whatever programs that are running parallel to the church, and when I say parallel, maybe they are helping people to know in a deeper way the full body of Christ. That's what we want to experience. Now, as we close this morning and extend an invitation, I just want to ask you, do you feel the power of Christ? When there's a charge in your life, when you begin to experience that love, maybe through one of His ambassadors or through the message or something, you know that you have been loved, and it feels good, doesn't it? A number of weeks ago, when I was visiting with Glenn, I wanted to tell this story. I'm sure you won't mind. Glenn, who is very excited and supercharged about his relationship with Christ, it thrills me to talk to him, told me one time that he'd been baptized 5 years ago in this church. But I believe you said, Glenn, it somehow didn't take. That's basically saying that somehow you didn't get the power of Christ, did it? And now you've got that power. You've tapped into it. Maybe that's you. And if it is, you can always repent. You can always come to the Savior who is longing to reach out to you and recharge you through the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. Let's stand and sing the invitation.